Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. For the second straight night, Jackie Bradley Jr. delivers for the Red Sox.
Dimensional defense for Jackie. The third baseman's wide of the line. The pitch. And he swings and drives one to deep right. Back it goes, and this ball is long gone. Two-run homer, JBJ. And the Red Sox have the lead. 6-5 Boston, Jackie Bradley Jr. with nine RBIs in this series.
Joe Castiglione with a call on the WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, as Jackie Bradley Jr. has been incredible in the postseason and incredible in this series. He's driven in nine runs, and that home run put the Red Sox in front to stay after the Astros would overcome the bad call again on Jose Altuve's drive to right. They overcame the bad call, took the lead, and then Jackie Bradley Jr. hit the two-run homer, put the Red Sox in front to stay 6-5. Red Sox won it 8-6. Now lead the series 3-1. Tonight will be game five. Justin Verlander on the mound for the Astros. David Price will go for the Red Sox. And we'll talk about that a little bit. And then, of course, the King of Cool will be here at 4:35. That would be, of course, my brother, to do picks. He's getting desperate, I think he's getting desperate.
I thought we crossed that bridge 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, no, he's, you know, it's just, now he's going to be in the studio with you next week. You know that, right?
That is correct.
And he's actually going to physically be there.
That's
going to
be awesome.
Where everybody in the station gets to meet him, except for the suit who will be putting out fires somewhere. I like to meet him, but I've got my own world. All right.
He's already told me he's going to make it a point to get to Brewer's Outlet. He will be there.
Yes, he will.
Yeah.
So he will do that.
So him standing at the pickle bar, that will make the photo album.
Coach's show is tonight. And with James Franklin, 6:05. And then we've got Thursday Night Football tonight on WKOK with the Broncos and the Arizona Cardinals in Glendale this evening. So, looking forward to that. So that's the Thursday night game. Of course, no offense to what we're carrying here, but I'm actually probably going to be watching the Red Sox game. I think I'll probably do that. So, let's see what we do. So we got a question here. Let me see here. I think it's from. Of course, it would help if I could open it. Let's see. The podcast yesterday, couldn't agree with the assessment of Micah Parsons' ability on the blitz. Wondering why we haven't seen him blitz more frequently up to this point this season. Hopefully, we'll see more of it going forward. I also follow boxing very closely. I also have never heard of Rocky Fielding.
That's part of the email, Mikey.
Again, my point about like Canelo. Yeah, look, I'm all for whatever anybody can get. Okay, I'm all for that. That's fine. But my goodness, $365 million.
That's just mind-blowing, especially from, I don't know the outfit or the company that owns DAZN. For people who don't know, that's DAZN. You may have started to see commercials on this within the last month with Michael Buffer. Well, Michael Buffer just signed a contract with DAZN to be, you know, anything that DAZN airs that's tied in with them, he will be the official ring announcer for those particular fights. It's actually, you know, I would... Yeah, then we're 99% sure, you know, the Canelo fight coming up later this year at Madison Square Garden. That's part of a, I believe it's an 11, a minimum of an 11 or 15 fight deal that he has with DAZN, $365 million for.
Wow.
Yeah, for Camilo.
But, I mean, look, and I give him all the credit in the world. I just don't understand why somebody wants to invest that kind of money in it.
Yeah. And DAZN, by the way, you won't find DAZN on your TV. It's a pay service and sets you back $10 a month. So for the boxing fan, sure, you're guaranteed a, you know, at least one or two quality boxing matches a week. So, yeah, if that's your deal, you probably get your money's worth out of it. So, but like what you said, you know, when was the last time, you know, we knew across the board who was the heavyweight champ of the world?
I mean, that normally has been an obvious. Now, back to his question about Micah Parsons. I don't know why they're not blitzing him more when he's out there. I mean, I think when he's out there, he's got to time it up better. It's interesting. When you watch him in practice, there are moments where he times it up really, really well. And there are other times where he doesn't time it up as well. So, I mean, that's when he does blitz. Because I think he can be more effective in that area, because I always, you know, I think everybody tells you that in high school, his ability to get after the quarterback, especially off the edge, was impressive. So let's see if that becomes more and more of a possibility. Now, sometimes with guys that move, it's a little more difficult. They are going to face two of the next three quarterbacks after this week are guys that are absolute pocket guys. So I think that's going to play some role in it. Part of it, too, is that when you do blitz, you got to remember it also forces you into man coverage. And one thing Penn State did a really good job on for the most part Saturday, like, and we all know, Penn State got better and better and better the first five games of the season. They did not get better on Saturday, right? I mean, that's, you know, I mean, you saw that. But they did a good job of rotating the safety for help most of the day. And then the last drive they didn't, because they were trying to blitz in there. When you blitz, you've got to go man. So, yeah, but he's got to be a little bit better at it. Dick in Milton on Coach Hort.
Hey, Steve. I just wanted to say something about Coach Hort. You know, there's these guys, they graduate from college, and then they go out and they coach a sport like he did. They coach for a long time, and then they could just retire and do nothing, but then they go on the air and they announce and put out their expertise, you know. And, you know, and there's a band of these guys, Coach Hort and Solakoff. Obviously, same thing, and then Coach Six from Milton, same thing, and these guys were thicker than thieves. I mean, I'm telling you, they were like a band of brothers. And I spent some time with Coach Six, and he was always around Coach Hort, and they had a mutual respect for the way they coached, to the way they taught, and as I say, and he's really earned his time to sit back and relax and enjoy just watching the games himself.
Well, I think he also had the ability to go out and explain to everybody what was going on in the game. And you can only do that through experience.
That's the same thing with Coach Lockoff. You know, they could have just sat back and gone to a game once in a while and enjoyed it themselves, but they shared their expertise, all of them, and it's interesting how guys do that. I'm not sure. We'll see if the guys that are coaching now put in their years will do the same thing or not, because, you know, they don't have to do that, and they do it because they like the sports, they like the kids, and they like to spend time actually following up on what they actually coached. And it's kind of interesting. You get a real good perspective from guys like that.
But I also think that Roger Haddon deserves a lot of credit for this, because they didn't just walk into the station and say, I want to be an analyst, I'll do a great job. They had to be sought out by the radio station to do this. So when Bill Lockoff and obviously Dick Hort, names that would be familiar to people in the area, it was also Roger that said, hey, look, I think it's a great idea. We should put these people on the air. I think they can make the broadcast better. So it actually runs both ways, and their willingness to come on and do it and then stay with it. I mean, for Dick Hort, 21 years he's been on. I mean, to stay with it, he didn't just do it like 2-3 years. Okay, that was neat. He kept going out there over and over and over again because he enjoyed it. And I think people enjoyed hearing him. And it all starts with the decisions that are made at the top to bring people like that in.
Yes, I understand that. With all I hope he enjoys just relaxing a little bit and going to a game and actually just enjoying the game.
Yeah, no, I hope
he
does,
goes
too.
To a game and sit.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he does, too. But I also think when he was sitting in the broadcast booth, he was enjoying the game.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. But a little different perspective. If you go sit in the stands and the guys around you say, oh, this is what's going to happen or why they did this instead of telling the whole audience of doing that.
Okay, that might be a little more miserable experience. I think they ought to do this. And you're sitting there going, oh,
I don't think he would be like that. But it's interesting, and I wish him a happy second retirement, I guess.
He should enjoy his second retirement. He's earned it. He's been invaluable here.
So what happens with the major announcer? Is he like a fish out of water now?
With Dave Ritchie? Yeah.
No. Went on the Shikalimi game.
The major guy?
Yeah.
The major guy's a mess right now. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
he's got to write this open. He's already read it to Sean four times. I mean, Sean was like, wanted it to end so badly. Sean started telling him, government secrets, hoping that that's what he was looking for.
Well, that and the fact I said, no, you're running out of time to give me my preview for game day for tomorrow night. So,
yeah.
You got to tackle that next. So.
Well, good luck to Coach Hort. Good luck to Sean.
Yeah.
And, I mean, good luck to all of them.
I'll be fine.
I know you will.
I know.
I just wanted to say a couple words for Coach Hort. He's actually earned a good retirement.
Well, good luck to Dave Ritchie. All right.
There you go.
That's where I thought he was going with that.
Yeah. See ya.
Thanks so much, Dick. Appreciate that. Coach Hort deserves that kind of tribute.
Yeah.
He does. Invaluable. But again, it also starts with the decisions made here. Yeah, I think we've done a great job over the years. I've had nothing to do with it, zero. But I mean, we, the radio station, we meaning Roger in the end. Of saying, okay, these are the kind of people we want to have on because we think that best represents the young people and the programs in our area. And it's paid off big. We've had great people on all the time. All right, we'll come back more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to be with you on this Thursday. Mm. I'll go to 5 o'clock, take an hour off, and then be back at 6:05. Sharmarek Curtis will be here. Talk about field hockey. They've got Indiana tomorrow at home at the Penn State Field Hockey Complex. They're 10-4 in the year. They're 5-2 at home this year. They won 5 of their last 6. And they'll be back in action coming up tomorrow night. And then they have Bucknell, by the way, on Tuesday night here. But Moira Putsch has had a big year. Anna Simon, Aurelia Mayer's had a big year. Emily Klinger's had a big year. Alexis Horst has had a big year. They've had just some really, really good matchups. And we'll hear from Shar first, and then James Franklin will be on the show. And he'll take anybody's questions. I mean, it's not like he's not going to sit there. The thing about James Franklin, he didn't shy away from questions. He didn't shy away from them. In other words, you aren't a person who asks him a question and he then goes and talks about something but it has nothing to do with your question. That happens all the time. And there's some coaches I've been around over the years, not here, but I'm talking like at some other schools, where you just ask a question because you're just asking a question. You're not questioning them. And all of a sudden they go off on some tangent and you're like going, it has nothing to do with what I asked you. All right? But he'll answer everything. And that is not the issue. But that'll be the lineup tonight on that show. So, and then we'll have Thursday Night Football with the Cardinals hosting the Broncos tonight in Glendale.
So looking ahead to next week, I've heard back from Jeff Perlman, the author of the USFL book.
Yeah.
Looks like Tuesday we'll have him on next week.
Very good. Tuesday.
Yes. Looks like it'll be Tuesday at 4:06 for next week.
Good. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I know you've been looking forward to diving into that book, too.
Oh, yeah. No, it's actually a pretty good read. I'll probably be able to finish it probably on the Indiana trip. So that's how far along I am with it. So I'll be able to get into it. I know how it ends. It's not like, there's no mystery. You know, when you have a...
And we all live happily ever after.
When you have a book about history, you do know how it ends. Okay? Okay, so there's no, like, building to a crescendo, go, whoa, didn't see that coming. No, in the end, they'll be awarded a dollar by a jury and have it troubled. Okay.
Break it to us gently if you're going to spoil what happened in the Titanic.
Okay. So. Okay. Well, yeah, okay, there's no spoiler, the ship sinks. Okay, I got it. All right, there's no spoiler along the way. Jack doesn't make it. So,
not Hammer, the other Jack.
I dive in and save that one.
I know you would.
oh my goodness. But yeah, that's we'll be talking about it. Look, the USFL was fascinating. And I honestly felt that if they somehow been able to hang on to the spring model just a couple of more years, I think they had a shot at making it. They were fun to watch. It was fun watching Houston. Now some teams started going south in the wrong way. Jim Kelly had been with the Houston Gamblers. Well, you know who he signed with to play for the 1986 season if the USFL had stayed. He signed with Trump. And then in the New Jersey Generals. Well, would have that been fun to see? that would have been very interesting. But, I mean, it's a league that produced Reggie White. It produced Jim Kelly. It produced Herschel Walker. It produced some terrific players that went on to the NFL. Sam Mills. Nobody wanted Sam Mills. So he goes to the Philadelphia Stars and the Baltimore Stars, and doggone, he ends up in the NFL with New Orleans. That helped that Jim Mora was the coach of the Saints because he was his coach at Philadelphia. So, yeah. It's a fascinating league. You know, Steve Young. Even with Steve Young, Los Angeles drew nobody. I mean, they couldn't draw anybody. Now, Tampa Bay, conversely, was outdrawing the Buccaneers, the Bandits. So it was a fascinating league. Obviously, you're talking about a league that started its existence 35 years ago.
Former Penn State quarterback Chuck Fucina, MVP of the 84 USFL championship game.
Chuck and I had a long talk. He and I were at the Duquesne Club together a year ago, and Chuck and I sat together. And I'll tell you right now, Chuck, business-wise, Chuck's doing really well. Business-wise, doing really well. I'm happy for him. I mean, like Chuck is just like every guy. He's out there, and he's, at one point when his kids were doing baseball, he was coaching Little League and things like that. His business has been doing well. I'm happy for Chuck. He's one of the great guys here. We went to school at the same time here at Penn State, so we knew each other a little bit back then. You know, and to see him get into, you know, the USFL was great for him. He and Scott Fitzky were together with the Philadelphia Stars. And that was the other part I thought that was, in terms of marketing, was brilliant. They assigned each franchise 5 territorial teams. Well, now suddenly you've got, I don't know, 5 to 8 Penn Staters on the Philadelphia Stars roster. Now, what do you think that does for Penn State fans? All of a sudden you look over and go, oh, well, there's Chuck Fucina. There's Scott Fitzky. There's, you know, guys that you recognize that were playing here at Penn State. Well, at least it draws that you at least gives you a little more interest in what's going on. I thought that was a brilliant marketing tool by the USFL, at least initially. All right. Coming up, time for picks. The King of Cool will join us from Studio 22. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Forget Get Trick or Treat. Sunbury Motors Ford is giving you all treats because they have to sell 7 new Fords every day now through Halloween. That's right, now through Halloween, they're doing what it takes to sell 7 new Fords every day. Just listen, Ford Escapes from under 20 grand. SMC has 53 2018 Escapes from 19,320. Choose from over 61 2018 F-150 trucks starting at $25,969. They've sold over 40,000 Ford trucks over the past 103 years and needs to sell 7 Fords every day now through Halloween. Buy a 2018 Ford Explorer starting at $31,705. SMC has 22 to choose from. There's also 13 2018 Ford Edges from $25,390. SMC is making it easier than ever because they need to sell 7 new Fords every day now through Halloween. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Hear every moment of the Penn State football season no matter where you are. Listen to WKOK.com and the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app to stream every Penn State football game. Presented by WNL Subaru. Hear the tailgate show, the game, and the postgame show on News Radio 1070 WKOK and now available at WKOK.com and the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app. Presented by WNL Subaru in Northumberland. Putting families in safe, reliable vehicles since 1972. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf. Our thanks to Zach Showers, who previewed the matchup between Sealands Grove and Danville. It's on Eagle 107 tomorrow night. Our thanks to Greg Wetzel, who previewed Lewisburg and Central Columbia on 100.9 The Valley. And our thanks to The Suit, who previewed Shikellamy and Shamokin, and also the incredible political admission by The Suit that he's voted only 2 out of 5 times not to raise taxes. Right. Is that how you interpreted, Sean? I thought that's what I got out of it. No? Yeah?
Maybe.
Yeah. I said the rumor is you've raised it 3 times. Well, I voted twice no. Like, I said, well, it's like 2 out of 5.
At that point, he walked out.
You know, right now, he's calling his campaign manager. And she's over at Geisinger right now, not answering the phone. All right. So, all right. And with that, we bring in the King of Cool from Studio 22.
Because we could not wait till Friday.
Then next week, we'll be there. Hee-haw.
I know. So,
was it a catch or not?
Last night?
Yeah.
The Altuve hit?
Yeah.
I said at the beginning of this show that they made the wrong call. It was a home run.
I thought it was a home run.
I mean, because there's an imaginary line that runs from the top of the wall to the ceiling.
Yep.
If the fan reaches over the line, the fan is now in the field of play and it's interference.
And he didn't.
Right, he did not. Right, he may have leaned a little bit, but he leaned a little bit from his seat. He is still behind the line. You can clearly see that Mookie Betts is over the imaginary line and reaching into the stands to make the catch. Now, if there's nobody sitting there, do I believe Mookie Betts makes the catch? Absolutely. In fact, I think there's a 98% chance he makes the catch. And you can tell that his glove, that the glove's open and he's got it, and the glove gets hit and gets closed. But that's irrelevant because the placement of the ball is beyond the wall and the fan has an absolute right to the ball because he's in his spot and in his seat, and Betts is the one reaching over to the fan's territory trying to make a play. Should have been a home run.
How old is Houston's ballpark?
2001, so it's 17 years old.
Oh, okay. It's a little older than I thought. I do not, but they can change that. I do not understand why Major League Baseball allows the home run areas to be, and this goes back to Derek Jeter and the Yankees and that big
Oh, with the Jeffrey Mayer kid in the Orioles series,
that it changes the game. There's certain parks like Fenway Park that you really can't in Yankee Stadium in the right field corners. But I mean, there's no question with the Green Monster: is it a home run or not? Is it They even have the Green Monster set forward so that nobody can alter the ball.
Right.
And I just, gosh.
It's a shame
that it would come down to anybody, and it was a great ball game, and it came down to now that's all people are talking about,
Right. Now, it should be pointed out, you don't know how the game plays out if it's ruled a home run, okay? But it also should be pointed out that just in the grand scheme of things, that actually would have been one more run. Because George Springer did score later in the inning. So they did get a run out of it. So if you're saying, it counts, now it's 8-7. But the dynamics of the game change at that point if suddenly it's 2-2.
If it's a home run, it changes everything. And momentum is everything.
Sure it does.
Momentum is huge. And it just takes the steam right out of Houston and puts a charge into Boston,
Then to Houston's credit, they took the lead.
Yep.
And then to Boston's credit, they took it back.
Yeah. Oh, a great ball game, but darn it all, I friggin' fell asleep. And I could have watched the whole ending, and I fell asleep, and then I'd say, one of the greatest games ever. The games last so long.
It's too long. 4 hours and 33 minutes.
Yeah, it's crazy. Would it end at 1 in the morning, something like that?
1:15, because this is the first time all season that I stayed up after midnight to watch all of it. I did.
I tried. I didn't make it. And, I don't know.
It's too long.
Baseball's got to do something.
What happened to Commissioner Manfred?
The fans interfering. Who's that guy? Tim Kirshen, baseball reporter.
Tim Kirshen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep, he's had a good analogy today.
Good friend of our show.
Good. He had a really good analysis today. I heard him. He said, what if in basketball, when a guy lines up to make a three-point shot and a fan hits his arm? It doesn't happen in the other sports. It doesn't happen in football.
No.
Baseball is allowing this pitcher pitches to this guy. That pitcher pitches to that guy. They set up rules that nobody can step out of the batter's box. They don't enforce them. Games are too long.
What happened to Commissioner Manfred's quest for pace of play to be a little more brisker and faster? It just seems like the games just keep getting longer.
I believe they're on hold.
The East Coast baseball, when Steve and I were kids, and I'm sure it was the same for you, Sean, in Pennsylvania, you have to rush to get to a grammar school or whatever that had a baseball field so the other kids weren't on it before you got there.
That's right.
Yeah. And now, Harriet Beecher Stowe, Steve, they don't even have the baseball fields anymore. They're gone. Yep.
Nobody's out there.
Yeah.
Every time I go past, and this goes back to our hometown, but on South Road, where we played a lot of Little League baseball at Mark Twain Elementary School.
Yeah.
Right. Every time I go past there, there's nobody out there.
No, there's nobody there. It's just changed so much. And a big part of it is you don't get to see the games. What kid's going to stay up till 1 in the morning and watch the Red Sox? And they lose interest,
Right. One fifteen in the morning when it ends. I'm sorry. That's just not. Kids are sitting there. First of all, you got adults that can't stay up and watch it.
No, who can? And don't say, DVR it and watch it. That doesn't work.
Nobody does that. That's ridiculous. I always hear people say, I DVR'd it. Don't tell me the score. The score is everywhere. for goodness sakes. I mean, you have to be completely oblivious not to know what the score of the game happens to be.
Yeah. If you're really interested, you're going to find out if your team won.
Of course.
If they lost, you're not going to watch the game. If they won... You're going to fast forward to all the good parts.
You're going to erase the DVR if they didn't win. I don't need to watch this.
Anyway, it's too bad. The money dictates everything, I guess. So they feel, this is a good example. I love baseball. But when the Yankees and the Red Sox are playing at the same time, I'm switching back and forth. Not anymore, you know. So yeah. They can say they're doing this for ratings. They lost a really big fan like me. I can't. You're changing the pitcher again. Okay, instant replay. Okay, you know, and the guy steps out. Then he gets in the box. The pitcher steps off the rubber. You're like, oh, my God, throw the ball. You know, let them play the game. Stop all these matchups. Don't overthink the game. Who are the superstars? You're overthinking the game. Who's the superstar in this series? Jackie Bradley Jr. The guy batted .150 all year, and he's a superstar. Who was the superstar for the Yankees years back? Scott Brosius. Yeah. You know, you're pitching around all these other guys. Meanwhile, they're not the ones hurting you.
Right. I know.
You're let the game play and let them play and stop overthinking it.
See, that's what I've talked about analytics before. I've talked about analytics a lot. And look, I'm for all the information I can get. I mean, okay, let's see. What's on my chart analytically? Okay, this is just for football. What's Penn State on third and less than four? What's Penn State's defense on third and less than four? Third on five and better. What's the two-minute drill numbers? What happens when the team takes over on the plus side of the field beyond the 50? Is it a TD, a field goal, a turnover, or a punt? You know, I mean, I've got all this stuff on here. Now, 98% of the time, I don't use any of that stuff, but there is a situation that may come up where I do use it. So I want all the analytics as possible, but I don't let it dictate the broadcast. And what's happening is that, and what bothers me, and I talked about this earlier, you know what's interesting about people who are really, really into analytics? Is that if you question something or say, you know what, you know, and you talk about things like gut feel and instinct, they attack you. I mean, like you're a dinosaur. I'm not talking about me. Like John Smoltz, he's a dinosaur for thinking the way he thinks. Excuse me, but the guy lived the game. Last time I checked, he actually knows how to play it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like the big one for me is a strikeout is like any other out. That's why players don't care about striking out. Are you insane? Let's see. okay. Runner on second, one out. Okay. Bobby hits the ball to the right side, and the runner goes to third. Next time up, Wade Miley uncorks a wild pitch. The guy scores. If we go by your theory in analytics, he struck out and he stayed at second. Now Wade Miley uncorks a wild pitch. Now he's at third. How many runs do you have? None.
Yep.
I mean, it's like
baseball,
right? And they don't. That's numbers don't grasp that stuff that are still important.
I agree with you 100%. Play the game. Play the game like it's a sandlot game and have fun and stop it with all this. I don't know what Greg Council's doing there. I haven't followed it that close, but I heard he's doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
He started Wade Miley, a left-hander yesterday, had him pitch to one batter, took him out, then put a right-hander in because he wanted to see if the Dodgers would change their whole lineup of hitters.
That's just crazy. Play the game, you know. That once you start messing around with that, your players start looking around like, what's next, you know.
Well, Gio Gonzalez got taken out in the second inning, at the end of the second inning of the first game, and they're explaining it to him in the dugout, and he's looking at him like, are you serious?
I know. You've turned it into a science. It's not a science.
It's a game.
Baseball game. It's a game you played on the... God, we had our best times when we were kids. That was just...
Absolutely.
That was just a blast, you know? You'd shoot for it and pick teams and, you know, whatever. And it was fun. And I watch the game now. It doesn't seem like the players are having fun, although the Red Sox are.
Well, winning usually is fun. So,
that's
why I always love when I hear teams, oh, we're a close team, we love each other, we have so much fun. Yes, you have 92 wins. Okay, so yes, it is more fun for you, and yes, you do love Mikey a lot more because Mikey's got 31 home runs. All right, so I always love when I hear the winning teams, oh, we're close, we have fun with it. Of course you do. You've got 98 wins. All right, Sean, what games do we have?
Okay, so we got our six-pack. We got three college, three pro. After 7 weeks, I am 28-10. Steve?
Unbelievable.
I know.
You are really wiping up, man.
I'm shocked by this. Yeah. Luckily, 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row above 500, that did it. Steve is 23. Steve is 23-15. Not too shabby. Not too shabby. Kevin, hey, you're still above. You're at 500. 19-19.
I'm at 500, baby.
You're not below 500. You still got time.
I am trying hard. That's all I'll say.
That's all you can do.
This isn't quite working out this year, but we'll just keep trying.
That's all you can do. All right, Big Ten, Saturday at noon, we've got Michigan and Michigan State. I think the better quarterback play is in play in this game, and I'm going to go with Patterson, so I'll choose Michigan.
Michigan defense is the best unit on the field. Michigan wins.
Yeah, they're both two good defenses. Michigan State held Penn State down except for two big runs, but I got Michigan, too. I think they're just a better team.
All right, Clemson coming off their bye week. They entertain North Carolina State.
NC State's pretty good. They've only lost once all year, but it's still Clemson, and the game is down at Death Valley, so Clemson.
Clemson for me.
Yeah, I got Clemson, too. If NC State could run the ball better, maybe.
Yeah.
But they don't, and Clemson is starting, and Clemson coming off a bye, too.
Yeah.
Well-rested, and it's at home, Clemson.
Yep. SEC on Saturday night, Mississippi State and LSU.
Joe Moorhead takes his team into Baton Rouge. LSU's going to feel really good about where they are. LSU might be the one team that has a shot at Alabama. LSU. And nobody else wants to pick.
I guess I'll pick. I'll pick, yeah. LSU burned me last week, not 2 weeks in a row. I've got the Tigers.
There you go. Well, LSU, I picked them. Didn't pick them. No, I picked them. They lost. I didn't pick them. They won. Oh, I'm going to take LSU. I just think they're a better team. They were real impressive last week.
Yes.
So we all got LSU, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we all got the same games. I'm going nowhere. Okay.
Well, sometimes you got to have a week like that.
No, you got to pick it the way you see it. So.
Yeah.
Sunday, we've got our NFL games. Eagle 107, Sunday afternoon at 1. The Eagles, they are coming off the, it seems like a bye, but they played last Thursday. They're back at the link. They'll take on Carolina.
I think Philadelphia is starting to find itself, although the Giants will do that to you. You got to give the Giants credit.
They win the Super Bowl again.
The Giants have the ability to make you feel really good about yourself. I'm going with Philadelphia.
I will take the Eagles as well.
Yeah, I was not impressed with Carolina last week at all. Philly, man, I think you're right, Steve. Philly is starting to find itself. Well,
yeah.
I got Philly.
All right, so we got New Orleans and the Baltimore Ravens.
Good game.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I'm trying to think which idiot picked Jacksonville to beat Dallas last week.
Let's see. We all did.
Okay. That was my balance because I picked Georgia. I picked LSU to beat Georgia, but I also picked Jacksonville to beat Dallas. Okay.
Well, who saw that coming? Who saw Dallas putting 40 on Jacksonville? I sure didn't.
Yeah.
I got to give Blake Bortles credit. He's back to being who he is. let's see. I'm going to go with New Orleans to win this game.
Me too.
I took Baltimore at home, so we do have a different one.
There you go.
Yep.
All right, and then we've got primetime on Sunday night. It is Cincinnati and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I was very quick to go with Kansas City last week. I'm even quicker this week because it's the Bengals and not the Patriots, so I'm going to go with Kansas City.
I'm just as quick, too. I just don't see them dropping two in a row. That offense is great. Mahomes is the real deal.
I mean, defense is not Kansas City's expertise by any
means. No.
I think they can, if it wasn't for Tom Brady, they would have won last week. So they still put up 40 on the Patriots. Patriots did not stop them. So, and I don't see Cincinnati stopping them. So I got Kansas City also. You know, I got a theory on this, and I know we're just about out of time, but this handcuffing the defenses is really making games difficult to pick, and like Jacksonville. But you can't, if you hit the quarterback, you got to have one hand up in the air when you land on the ground. If you get, they're taking the aggressiveness out of the game, and it's taking the defense right out of it. And I'm not saying pick the games. It's just each week you don't know who's going to win. I mean,
It's like a kaleidoscope league, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's fun, but they've handcuffed the defense so much. I mean, these quarterbacks can play later in life now because the rules are set to protect them.
Look at the play last week in the Kansas City-New England game. You thought Tom Brady was going to get tackled, but then the defender let him up, and he ended up walking into the end zone.
Yeah.
And it just makes you wonder. It just makes you wonder with now, you know, the emphasis on keeping the quarterback safe. You know?
Has it gone too far? Okay,
well, that's
bye,
that's
guys.
Right.
I'll see you short. Be in town shortly.
Everybody awaits your arrival. The company went out and bought a brand new red carpet.
He's going to let me do the weather. I can't wait. Holy crap.
All right. We'll see you next week.
All right. Have a safe
trip. Sean, you'll see him before I do. So.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll put it over the top, though, if Claire does the traffic reports.
And you'll get a chance to meet the suit. What a thrill for you.
Be the best 2 hours of his life. Next Friday.
The suits?
Him too.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.